We surely desire your prayers this morning. I was telling Sister Linda this morning that sometimes I just feel preached out. I think I've preached about everything there is to preach, and after a while you just sort of feel, what else is there, Lord? And then it seems like the Lord begins to pour it in, and it gets bigger and bigger, and you know you can't do it all in one message, and so that's what we have today. It will not be able to be completed in today's setting. So we ask that you would, and you are here. We did not know who was going to be here, so the Lord knew, and we're going to count this as for you, since you are here. But we desire your prayers that the Lord will bless and anoint his word. We're going to start in Exodus, and we have a lot of reading today. So it's going to take you drawing your mind in and focusing and not letting your mind wander in order to connect it together. We have a lot of reading in the Old Testament. The Old Testament is very important. We would not want to do away with the Old Testament. It is so connected to the New Testament. It brought us to Christ. So much prophecy. So many things that are written in the Old Testament really opens up something for us in the New and in our day to day. It's not so old that it's not still new for 2015 or for this generation or any future generation. So what we give here today may sound, no, I'm not even going to say that. I don't want to plant that thought in your mind. I am trusting that the Spirit of the Lord will take these words and make it into something for you and me. So however you may feel about it at the end, remember it's not finished. You may have to come back. We're going to start in Exodus, the 43rd chapter, and we're going to read verses 10 through 12. And now I have taken those, and those in the congregation know I sort of do this. I try to take the meat from each verse. Many times there are adjectives that we don't have to insert that can take away possibly our thoughts from the central thought of the verse or the passage. So it's the 43rd chapter. Oh, it doesn't even have that many, does it? Well, you see, I wrote it all down exactly like I wanted to read it. let me see if it's Isaiah. I can't tell you now where it is. Oh, I knew this would happen. Maybe when I start reading, somebody can look it up for me on their phone. Son of man, shew the house to the house. Now, someone look that up and tell me where that is. I just have either written down the wrong book or I've written down the wrong chapter. Show the house to the house. Do you know what that means? That means that there is a building of the Lord, and he wants his people, the children of Israel at that time, to understand it. He wanted it to be opened up to them in a way that they could have a vision of what his purpose and design was for the house. We can say it in this way. We can say it is the church of God. I want you to look at the house or the plan that God has, that you are to come to that plan. Ezekiel, I put an X there instead of a Z. Thank you. So Ezekiel, and we're going to be looking in Ezekiel and Isaiah quite a bit. Thank you, Doug. So, son of man, shew the house to the house. Let them measure the pattern. Did you know a pattern is very important? Not only to us, but it is important to God. A pattern is used in many ways in our society and in our lives. This word pattern, it means an original model for imitation. So we need to have this, we need it to be the same thing as the original. It's also a guide to produce the first form. So he's saying here, measure this pattern. Look at it. I want you to design what you understand in this to be the very same design that I have for the church. Verse 11 says, shew them the form of the house and the fashion thereof. We're going to read this on through and then talk about some of these words. And then the goings out thereof and the comings in thereof, or the function of it. And all of the ordinances thereof and all of the laws thereof, and write it in their sight that they may keep the whole form thereof and all of the ordinances and do them. And this then, verse 12, is the law of the house, the whole limit of the house, around about shall be most holy. Behold, this is the law of the house. So that's our beginning scripture this morning. This is a passage in reality that was written in judgment to the children of Israel. And that's why I haven't read just all of the words that are there. Because he was addressing the children of Israel and causing them to see their error by what he wanted to bring into their vision, if you will. And he was saying, now, if you're ashamed of how you are acting or not doing, then this is what I will give to you. I'll give you a vision, but we're not going to go there. I want us to understand the form, the plan, the pattern, the ordinances, the laws. They're just the same for you and me today. God has a plan for the body of Christ, for the church of God. If you hear someone say, oh, it's not a bunch of laws of do's and don'ts, don't believe it. All of the Bible is written with laws of do this and don't do that, and that's for you and me to obey. That is the pattern of the church of God. This is what sets the church of God apart from other churches in the world. As we continue, I believe that you will see that this is what God has in mind for his people, even today, as he did then. He wants them to understand what his plan, his purpose, and when we read this, he wanted the appearance. Is God interested in the appearance of the church of God? Absolutely. He is interested in the way you and I even dress ourselves. It is all part of the appearance of the church. And so he wanted it to be described. Not that we're going into that area. Like I said, this has many avenues that can be taken from this particular passage. But he wants it to be described. He wants the measurement to be accurate. He wants the people to be able to come to the measurement. The measurement of the Church of God will never reach out and meet somebody else's opinion or idea. Now, the reason also why it was given was for the church that it would not fall short, that it would have the measurement, or it would not be ashamed, see, or fall short. This word shoe, to shoe it unto the house or the church, it is to acquaint them or explain it or, as I said, describe it. And then we want to speak about the form of it. The form would be the structure or the very nature of the church or the house. This word nature is very important to us this morning. It says it is the force or the drive that influences or determines the behavior. Is God interested in the behavior of his people? Absolutely. It's as much a part of his plan as how you and I act. I've often said or felt like that the saints of God has their own vocabulary. Have you ever noticed that? Sometimes we would have individuals come in and not be familiar with our vocabulary, the way we say certain things. But as they continually come and hear, they begin to understand the vocabulary of the people of God. So that is part of the very nature or the behavior. It is the function or the very activity of the church, is the very nature or the form of the church. Now, the fashion is the manner, the custom, and the practice. A lot of this is going to be detailed information to set a foundation for future thoughts from this passage. But the fashion, it says, show them the fashion of this in all of it. And so it says it's the manner. It's a custom. Do we have customs? The scripture even speaks about the customs. We are to obey the customs. Sometimes customs are determined because of the traditions. They're also called traditions. But it's influenced the decisions, the layout, you might say, of the Church of God is determined by the wrong influence, if you will, of the world. The direction that the world is going, we have to be aware of it. He said over in one place that he would set watchmen on the wall, and that it had to be a person that was from their midst. They didn't take somebody off of the street, so to speak, and say, come in, I want you to watch for us about the devil and his works. I want you to watch and tell us when danger is coming. That's not how the Lord works. He takes somebody that already has understanding of the form and the nature. He takes someone that understands the vocabulary, if you will, and he will use that one to warn the righteous, to cause them to be alert to the dangers that are out there. Now, we had a message just recently, and we brought out the definition for perilous times, and how that the word perilous means that we are under the influence of possibly being destroyed. That's what peril means. You and I are living in a time that has never been before. We may try to compare it to, let's use this example. We may try to compare our time today to Sodom and Gomorrah. It's not a bad comparison. But the reason it is worse now than then is because there's millions and millions of more people in our world than there was then. That makes it a greater sin because it is more prevalent. It is more apparent. It is more open. You and I, those of us that grew up 50, 60 years ago, some of the terms that we hear on the airwaves today, we never even heard them back then. We never even understood what they meant if we had heard them. But today, even our children and our young people are hearing things that they would have... It's shocking. And so the church has to be in the world. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. And yet, we are still in the world. And we hear these things all around us. There are things that we see with our eyes that are even on the billboards that would never have been thought of on the billboards in our day. I still remember when I was a child, a billboard that would probably be laughed at today. It was an animated billboard. It was the three monkeys. And one was doing his eyes. See no evil. One did the mouth. Speak no evil. One did the ears. Their hands were moving. And then they would have the saying underneath it. You seen a billboard like that today? See no evil. Speak no evil. Hear no evil. Can you compare that to the billboards we have today? That should tell us something, see? We are in a different time. We are in a time where we have to understand then the custom of the Church of God or the traditions is to cry out against those things. If we do not warn, the Scripture says the blood will be on our hands. But if we warn the righteous that they sin not, it says if we warn the sinner and he doesn't turn, we're still free. So the Church of God must be a live with the traditions and the customs and the very fashion. This is all under fashion and the practice. We keep ourselves free from the evil and uncleanness of this world. Amen. And the way that we keep ourselves is to be saved to the uttermost. Now that is a very important term and a part of our vocabulary, to be saved to the uttermost. To be saved to the uttermost leaves no room for sin to be a part in our life. We are looking at these things as exceedingly sinful. And unless you see sin as exceedingly sinful, you will slip right back into it. Because that's the human characteristics and manner. And so the custom is, the definition says, an established manner or habit. Do you ever look at your relationship with the Lord as being like a habit? Do you have a habit of serving the Lord? In other words, when you wake up in the morning, what are your first thoughts? If your first thoughts are on the things of God, that means your living for the Lord has become a habit. That's not bad. It is good for us to be so full of the things of God that it is our first thoughts in the morning as we face a new day. Oh, it's not that you have to read a whole chapter while you're in bed, but for you to just stop and think of the goodness of God before you get out of bed and face a new day, that's a habit. And it's a healthy habit. It begins your day with your mind in the right direction. So then the scripture that we just read, it spoke of the functions of the church of God, the goings out, the comings in, the functions of the church of God, is very important that it be by the pattern. Today as it was then. We teach and believe how the services are conducted. We teach and believe, and it's part of our vocabulary, of the Holy Spirit being the guide, the one that would anoint the word and make it alive. We teach and believe that. We practice it not only from the pulpit, but we practice it in our services. When we call a song, when we sing a special, when we have prayer, we are expecting the Holy Spirit to order even the one that leads out in prayer, and to even order the prayer that is prayed, to anoint for that prayer, to it be inspired by faith. So the Holy Spirit, we sang the song, I love that song that was we sang while we took up our offering. The three in one, come, we've invited the Holy Spirit to come and be in our midst. And we want the Holy Spirit to order everything that is, we say, said and done in our services. When we go to camp meeting, it is very important that it be led of the Holy Spirit. If it is not, we have a term. It is man rule. And we all understand what that is if we're part of this body, if we have been shown some of this fashion of this house. So this is all part of those that are participating, if you will, in the law of this house. The functions are, I love the function of the body of Christ in the earth. I condemn it not. Oh, does that say no one ever gets out of order? That is not saying that. That can happen. We are all still human beings of the earth, and we have a mind, and we have feelings, and sometimes the enemy can take advantage of our humanity. And yet, the plan and the pattern is for the Holy Spirit to be in our midst, ruling and reigning in the very functions of the body. Now, the next one was ordinances. Shew all of the ordinances. We might think of, when we speak of ordinances, we might think of feet washing, or the healing service, or the healing, or just different things we might come under ordinances. But I want to give you what it actually means. It means it's the governing procedures. It's the precepts and the laws. And with that, it means rules concerning conduct, actions, standards, and morals. So, under the ordinances comes all of these definitions that we would have to consider as part of the house. Show the house to the house. Show the church of God to the church of God. This is what sets us apart. This is what makes the body of Christ the body of Christ in the earth. And then, of course, the laws and precepts just simply repeat those same definitions. It's the rules of conduct. It's very important that we understand how God is concerned about even our conduct. He's concerned about our standards, standards of holiness, standards that are, he says in one place, he said, His way is higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. So I'm going to have to reach to a higher plane to understand what God's standards are for the people of God in the earth. He spoke also about a highway. He said there would be a highway there. And it said that they would not err therein, though they're ignorant. What that means is that the Holy Spirit will be able to commune with you and me and give us understanding of how to find this highway, the highway of holiness. Remember, the law of this house is holiness all around. There's no place for there to be carnality, should not be, and still be the house. There should not be a place where sin would be condoned and accepted and petted, and it's okay. We want you to come. I'll tell you what, we want people to come, but we also want them to get free from sin. Yes. And that's the whole pattern of this house. It's the purpose to be free from the bondage of sin and to be free from self. Self is a bondage to you and me. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to work in us and open our understanding of ourselves until we can see where we need something greater or better than what I think, my opinion. So those are some of the words. I might add, the scripture said there that the law was most holy. It wasn't just holy. It said most holy. So I think that God is so interested. I don't think it. I know it. He is concerned about the holiness of the people of God in the church of God. He's concerned about that. Now we're going to go to another scripture in Ezekiel, the 44th chapter. We want to consider now a little different part of this house. As a matter of fact, it speaks about the ordinances of the priest. Now, we do not have priests such as they had in the Old Testament. But there were instructions concerning the priest then that could be applied to the ministers, if you will, or gospel workers now. So we're not going to give it all for the sake of time. But I'm going to read verses 44th chapter. I'm going to read 4 through 7, 12, 13, 15, 16, and 23. Now again, I'm going to give you the meat of these verses. So verse 4, it said, "He brought me before the house." We're still talking about this house. "And I looked, and behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord, and I fell upon my face." Have you ever experienced the glory of the Lord in the services? Have you tasted it? I have been in places where I experienced, not only me but others, the very glory of the Lord coming down and blessing. We call it anointing. See our vocabulary there? That is a biblical term. But not all of the world understands the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So we begin here with the house being filled with His glory. And He fell upon His face. Now go to verse 5. "And the Lord said unto me, Son of man, mark well and behold with thine eyes and ear, with thine and hear with thine ears all that I say unto thee concerning all of the ordinances of the house of the Lord and all of the laws thereof. You know, the Word of God and that we have in print, it was not just printed to fill up pages. It has a purpose of opening up what God's will is for His church to each one of us as we read it. So He's saying here, you mark this well. You listen carefully. You see with your eyes and hear with your ears everything that I say concerning the ordinances. Now remember what the ordinances were. They were precepts and laws and rules concerning conduct, actions, standards, and morals. Oh, I want to tell you, this can just get bigger and bigger. And it will. If the Lord continues to bless this, there may be several messages come out of this particular chapter. Verse 6 and 7, part of 7. Thou shalt say to the house, I'm skipping a few words in there. Thou shalt say to the house, thus saith the Lord God. Now what did he say? He said, ye have brought into my sanctuary strangers, uncircumcised in heart, to pollute even my house. All right, now we're still talking about priest here. But there is a relationship with those who minister to the saints of God, the same standard of holiness is going to have to be applied. Those that stand before the audiences of the saints of God, did you know that the saints have a right, according to the Word of God, for those that minister to them to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to be called into that position and not there of their own mind? It is a calling. It is not, well, I would like to be a preacher, and so I'm going to study and I'm going to seek that vocation, if you will. That is not how God operates. He doesn't want someone standing before the people that do not understand these laws, these precepts, these ordinances, that understand the form and the fashion. They should understand it to be able to convey it to the people. So in this particular time, they had allowed strangers in there and it polluted it. Do you see that we have to be? Why does the scripture say, know those that labor among you? It is for this reason. We don't let just a stranger come in and take the pulpit. They have to prove themselves of what vision they are of or what they have. And so then it goes on. Verse 12, because they ministered, they did this before their idols and caused the house to fall, therefore have I lifted up my hand against them. Okay, that's just the meat of that particular verse 12. Now verse 13, they shall not come near me to do the office of a priest. Verse 15, but the priest, remember, priests were there. This would be applied to ministers of today. But the priest, these are the priests that can come before him, that have kept the charge of my sanctuary. Do you see how important it is that the house be shown the house? That the church of God understand. You know, we have a generation coming on that needs to hear what the church is. Yes. What the church teaches. Yes. They need to understand these laws and precepts, these ordinances. it's not all to be messages that is to make us feel good when we leave. It needs to be messages that is giving light and understanding to the next generation, that should this generation depart by death, that there will be a generation that will also have that vision and understanding and carry it on. Otherwise, it'll be a stranger and it will be polluted. So it will be the priests that have kept the charge of my sanctuary, verse 16. They shall come near my table to minister unto me, and they shall keep my charge. See how important it is that we understand this? What is this table? Doesn't he say over in Psalms 23, thou preparest a table in the presence of what? My enemy. Did you know that the devil is right here this morning to snatch from your hearing words that have been said and will be said, and that you won't even think on it when you leave here? That's what his purpose is. He doesn't want it to be down in your heart so that you won't sin. So the table is very important. When we pray for the services, how are you praying? We need to be praying, Lord, prepare a table before us today in the very presence of the devil, because the devil wants to pollute and hinder you and me from even receiving the word of God. Look at verse 23 now. This one is so important, and this is actually the very foundation of now our thoughts. It says, and they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and the profane, and cause the people to discern between the clean and the unclean. How's that done? This was the obligation and command and duty of the priest to teach the people. There is a difference between the holy and the unholy. There is a difference between clean and unclean. We're in a world where they do not see a difference between clean and unclean. They do not. They can still name the name of Christ and live an unclean life. You believe that?
Yes.
It's all around us. And they can still have a profession, and they can still go to church. They can find a church that will take them in and make them feel good at whatever lifestyle that they have. It's out there. So, this is the duty, is to teach the difference of these things. And then verse 24, and they shall judge according to what? My judgments, and shall keep my laws and statutes in all of my assemblies, in all of the church of God. That's his pattern. His purpose, his design is for all of the church of God. What does the word say? It says that we all speak the same things. Thank the Lord. I'm going to finish now with two more verses, and then I will have to leave the rest to another time because it's just too big. But this message is extremely important. Actually, I want to tell you, I had not, to my remembrance, read these passages in a long time. I know the Lord gave me a message on it years ago. But for him to refresh it and give a message now is thrilling to me. Because I know there's a generation that hasn't heard all of this. And so the next scripture is in Amos. And those of you that know the Word of God, you probably know what I'm going to read next. It is Amos the seventh chapter, and we're going to read verses 7 and 8. And then he shewed me. He revealed to me. He explained. He acquainted me. He described. And he said, and behold, the Lord stood upon a wall made by a plumb line, with a plumb line in his hand. Now, you know, most of us do not probably use a plumb line one time in our life. But if you've ever built anything, if you've built a wall, especially if it's a retaining wall, a foundation wall, you may not have a plumb line, but you will have a level. And you want to make sure that it's level here, because if it's not, it won't be level there. But a plumb line is the same way. God is very interested in things being built straight up and down. Yes. And not leaning this way or that way. And so he saw a vision, and he saw him standing on a wall with a plumb line in his hand. And this is what the Lord said, and this is very important that we get a hold of this. It said, the Lord said unto me, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a plumb line. And then said the Lord, behold, I set a plumb line in the midst of my people. I will not again pass by them anymore. What does that mean? The same pattern that was in existence in the beginning is that plumb line. Yes. And it has not changed for any generation. The plumb line, is it movable? It can be. There could be people that have built a crooked wall, and they say, well, I don't want my fellow man to really see how crooked it is. I'll just move the plumb line and it'll still look straight. It won't be straight. The plumb line of the Lord is without repentance, and he says, I will not pass this way again. This is the pattern. You have to come to the pattern. The pattern does not come to you. It is not that you can live this way and still claim this and be found acceptable in my sight. The last scripture is Isaiah 5 and 20. And, it's so hard to quit. I may read two more. I may just read this one and one more. There is a woe. It says, woe unto them that call good evil and evil good. Is that very hard to understand? It's pretty plain, isn't it? It goes on and it says, they put darkness for light and light for darkness. They put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. And it says, woe unto the people that do this. So, to pollute the truth of God's word, there is a woe that is pronounced against it. I cannot call that which is evil good, or that which is bitter sweet, or that which is dark, I cannot call it light. That's polluting the word of God. Last scripture, Isaiah 4 and 1. And I wish I could finish all of this, but it would just take too long this morning. It says, in that day, seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel. That's where we are in our society today. Exactly. There are many people that are calling themselves Christian to take away their reproach. But they are eating their own bread and they're wearing their own apparel. Remember, there was a fashion of the people of God. And I'm not just talking about dress. But the conduct is all under the pattern. The pattern has to be the same. If we that sow, we use a pattern, and we try to cut it out exactly like that pattern, don't we? For it to turn out like the pattern. It says, we will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel. Only let us be called a Christian. I know that sounds very condemning, and it is. It is condemning. The word Christian, what does it mean? Christ-like or like Christ. And I don't believe what we see today as representing Christians is how Christ would be. And it should be a warning to us that we are not calling ourselves a saint if we are not. It's very serious to be a hypocrite because you're not portraying the life of Christ. See, remember, the law of the house was holiness completely around it. No place to let in a little bit here. And the plumb line was perfectly straight. You have to come to the plumb line. And it says, do you know why they wanted to have his name? To take away their own reproach. Because in reality, they knew it was a reproach to not be living as the Word of God says. Thank you for your attention this morning, and I prayed this morning that the Lord would give hearing ears this morning, that you would be able to retain the Word of God that was spoken here this morning. It's not finished. This is much deeper than one service. So I am asking for the Lord to help me to continually see the seriousness of what the house looks like. That I be living according to what the house that he designed, his pattern. You pray for me. I would say, I think that the ministers need prayer probably more now than ever before. There are so many things to draw away. And we are still human. Pray for me.